All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Well, here's a problem. Getting a good shave can be a real pain in the ass. You know how it is. You got all these razors, right? You don't know, is it the three blade or the four blade? Did I have power? Did I not have power? Is it vibrating? Should it not vibrate? Who wants to work that hard? Listen, join our society of smarter men. This is what you do. You go to dollarshaveclub.com/Alonzo and you get high quality razors delivered to your door for just a couple of bucks a month. They made it simple. High quality razors, 100% guaranteed, sent on schedule, so you never have to think about it again. Every month, you get a new pack. Every week, you change your blade. Can't make it easier than that. DollarShaveClub.com has made it easy to get a good shave. Look, it feels fantastic. Now think about this the next time you're at the store and you're looking at a pack of razors and trying to remember, did I have power? You don't need to know all that. This is what you do. You go to dollarshaveclub.com/Alonzo. You get great razors delivered to your door. You save money and you shave well. dollarshaveclub.com/Alonzo. Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? This is Alonzo Bowden, and it's been a week, been a hell of a week. You know, today, I mean, I don't know if you believe in omens or anything, but the first thing that happened today was I hit the button to turn on my coffee maker, and it broke. That is a bad sign. Fortunately, I was able to jerry-rig it to work, and I got some coffee, so we still have a show, because if there was no morning coffee, the day doesn't start. So that was my omen for the day. Other than that, everything's pretty good. I'm here in LA. It's 90 degrees outside. The Santa Ana winds are blowing. Fire season has begun. Hello, springtime. So what have we got this week? I have to start as a sports fan. You guys know I love basketball. Jason Collins came out this week. On Monday, he wrote an editorial, op-ed, open letter, whatever you want to call it, for Sports Illustrated, and he's gay. Jason Collins, 34-year-old center in the NBA, 7 feet tall, 255 pounds. I don't think anybody's going to be calling him names, at least not to his face. All kidding aside, this was phenomenal. Obviously, we all knew that one day a major sports athlete, you know, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, was going to come out and say he's gay, and the world would have to deal with it. And Jason Collins is the guy. The support was immediate and nearly unanimous. Definitely amongst the major names. President Obama came out in support of him. Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, David Stern, the commissioner of the NBA. That list goes on and on. You know, people supported him. And it's really interesting what he wrote and what he went through. Jason Collins has a twin brother, Jared Collins, who also made it to the NBA, who was, quote, astounded to find out his brother was gay. Now, think of the level of secrecy you'd have to keep for your twin brother who literally you did the same thing. You followed the same career path all, you know, besides growing up together all through high school, college, and into your profession. You're twins. You're right there. And he didn't know his brother was gay. So think about the level Jason Collins had to go to to try to hide this fact, to live, to be, I don't know if forced is the right word, but to have to live your life at that level of secrecy. I mean, when he says a weight was lifted when he came out, yeah, I can only imagine. So God bless him. Kudos to the man for coming out. And I don't think he necessarily came out to, you know, to be the leader of everyone, although he said he understands that responsibility is going to come with it, and that's going to be thrust on him, and he knew he was going to be in the press limelight, you know, tremendously. I mean, the sort of funny thing is his career is kind of over. I mean, last season, the guy averaged 1.2 points and 1.6 rebounds, so it's not like he's a dominating force in the NBA. He may not be back. He's a free agent. He doesn't have a contract. He may not be back, and if he doesn't come back, it may not, you know, some people will say it's because he's gay, but it might be because he only averaged 1.2 points and 1.6 rebounds. That's not exactly who you want to bring back. Others say, hey, he's 7 feet tall, and as long as you're 7 feet tall, you got a shot in the NBA. So we'll see how this plays out, but overall, it has been good. You know, obviously not the impact of a Jackie Robinson, although the comparisons will be made, but still an amazing achievement. And if he does play next season, we know there'll be the idiots and you know, there'll be a lot of hate and people will be yelling things from the stands and, you know, there'll be protests and blah, blah, blah. But the man did it. And what some articles I'm reading are talking about and you know, this is one of the great things about him doing it, is how many lesbian or gay kids can now say, okay, maybe I can come out, or maybe it's okay for me to be gay, or maybe I'm not that different, and that would be great. And wouldn't it be great if people just accepted people, just let people be who they are? But there's always one. And let me tell you something. The most hypocritical, judgmental, just this guy, Chris Broussard from ESPN, okay, just straight out, this is an asshole. This guy, the level of hypocrisy is unbelievable. Chris Broussard, for those who don't know, is one of the guys who covers the NBA for ESPN. And this is what he said when Jason Collins came out. I don't agree with, this is from Chris Broussard, okay, who describes himself as a Christian. And once again, Christians, I don't hold this against all of you, but yeah. Okay, this is what he says. I don't agree with homosexuality. I think it is a sin, as I think all sex outside of marriage between a man and a woman is. He went on to say that Jason Collins can't be a Christian because this is the abomination against God and the whole blah, 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 blah. Unbelievable. Who the hell is Chris Broussard? How does he get to judge who is Christian? You know, oh, well, I don't approve of your lifestyle. Are you the judge? Really? Really, Chris? And it's so funny because this guy is so hypocritical. Why? He tried to frame it and make it larger, right? Because he knew what he said was ridiculous. So he says, all premarital sex, whether it be between a man and a woman or between two, you're unchristian, you're bad. Really, Chris? Really? Did you bring that up with how many NBA players have obviously had sex before marriage because they have kids? And I'm not just talking about some minor players. LeBron James, for example, or Kobe Bryant, who committed adultery. Whether you believe it's rape or not, there was sex outside of the marriage, Chris. But I didn't see you just say, you know, I can't talk to these people. I can't work on Sundays. I'm a good Christian. Oh, sure you could, Chris. You know why? Because you did it for the money, you lowlife hypocrite. Now, this is, of course, is what he said the next day. And ESPN's full of shit for not firing this guy. They should have fired him right away. And it's not a free speech issue, okay? Free speech means you're allowed to say what you want. It doesn't mean that speech doesn't come with consequences. If you work for ESPN and ESPN covers the NBA and covers sports, and ESPN says they support Jason Collins in coming out and the diversity of lifestyle or however you want to put it, how do you keep this guy who's, I'm a Christian, you're not a Christian? How do you keep this asshole? And this is what he said the next day, of course. You know, I realize that some people disagree with my opinion, and I accept and respect that. My beliefs have not and will not impact my ability to report on the NBA. I believe Jason Collins displayed bravery with his announcement, and I have no objection to him or anyone else playing in the NBA. You know why it shouldn't affect your job covering the NBA, Chris Broussard? Because you shouldn't have a job covering the NBA. But, since you have decided you are the arbiter, you are the judge of all things Christian, I'm gonna bring back a little questionnaire. And this was written back when Laura Schlesinger, for those who don't know, Laura Schlesinger is one of these crazy right-wing radio hate mongers who, you know, homosexuality is an abomination against God and blah, 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 blah. And some people much smarter than me did some research, and I have to credit... and I'm going to just read these names off of it, what I have. You can look this up on the internet. It's called The True Unerring Word of God. And it's written by Jay Bear, Penny Wu, and Quiet Thoughts, who I don't know who that is, but I'm just going to credit them. But they had a few questions for Dr. Laura. And I'm going to go ahead and see if you can help me with this, Mr. Broussard, since you are the arbiter and expert of all things Christian. Okay. And I'll just read it as they wrote it, okay? We understand Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 clearly states it to be an abomination for man to lay with man. We got that. But we need some advice regarding other elements of God's law and how to follow them. Leviticus 25:44 states that I may possess slaves, both male and female, provided they are purchased from neighboring nations. Now, a friend of mine claims that this applies to Mexicans, but not Canadians. Can you clarify? Why can't I own Canadians? Again, this was written by them. I'm just reading it. Here's another one. I would like to sell my daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21, chapter 21, verse 7. In this day and age, what do you think would be a fair price for her? I know that I'm not allowed contact with a woman while she is in her period of menstrual uncleanliness, per Leviticus 15:19-24. The problem is, how do I tell? I mean, I tried asking, but most women take offense. Here's another one. I have a neighbor who insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly states he should be put to death. Now, am I morally obligated to kill him myself, or should I ask the police to do it? Chris, I believe you work on Sundays covering NBA games. Maybe a halftime activity? Let's see. A friend of mine feels that even though eating shellfish is an abomination, per Leviticus 11:10, it's a lesser abomination than homosexuality. Can you settle this? Are there degrees of abomination? So, you know, as you can see, here's a good one. Leviticus 11:6-8 says, touching of a dead pig makes me unclean. May I still play football? Do I have to wear gloves? This ancient biblical law is Old Testament stuff written thousands of years ago for who knows what reason, and you can't just apply it arbitrarily, but maybe you can, Chris. Now, it's good to know you are the arbiter of all things Christian. If there's any problems in the future with Christianity, we'll run to you. You low-life hypocrite. And ESPN... You are shit for not firing this guy, this hate mongering piece of crap. Unbelievable. How could you not, ESPN? How could you not man up and fire this guy? If these are his beliefs, let him take his beliefs down the road. This freedom of speech thing, I'll go over it again. People know who followed my career know I've had my experience with it. I worked at the Palms Hotel. I made fun of the Maloofs. They had me fired and kicked out of the hotel. I was free to speak out and make fun of them. They were free to kick me out of their hotel. It's their business. That's how it works. Freedom of speech comes with responsibility. ESPN is dropping the ball on not firing this hypocrite. Broussard, piece of... Okay, I'm going to move on. I love that stuff. I'm just going to ask women if they're unclean before I talk to them. Let's see how to... You'll be reading about me in the news real quick. Guns. Yeah, still here, still arguing, still debating. I don't know why. It's not as if Congress would actually do anything about guns. They've proven themselves once again to be weak, disorganized, and incapable of common sense. But let's talk about guns. I recently read a very interesting, and I say interesting because it's a different point of view. It's different than stuff I have read before, and it is very well written and intelligent, and it comes from a guy whose credibility is beyond anything I would question, and he talks about guns. David Grossman, retired lieutenant colonel, an academic. This guy, he's spoken before Congress about this issue. He's spoken, he's been on the news. Obviously, of course, he's been on Fox News, but he's been on other news shows. He's pretty much an expert on this, and he's not just talking. This guy's been in combat, and he knows what he's talking about, and he's not some crazy gun nut with, 10,000 guns waiting for the government to come get him or anything like that. This is a guy who knows what he's talking about. So David Grossman says that we do need armed people in schools, and this is basically his reasoning. He says there's three types of people: sheep, who are ordinary people, not violent, not armed, not just ordinary people. Wolves, those are the bad guys. Those are people who kill people. Those are people who rob people. Those are people who victimize others. And sheepdogs. And the sheepdogs are the people who protect the sheep from the wolves. And he doesn't say this in any derogatory manner. So like, I would be a sheep, but I don't take it as an insult for him to call me that. What he's saying is that most people are not trained, armed, and in the business or even naturally protective of others. Okay, so he believes that schools should have sheepdogs. There should be someone there armed who's trained, who knows how to protect the students from a school massacre. And it's very interesting, and this is what he said. He said, let's stop calling it school shootings, because shooting diminishes the horror of what's been done. He says, I'm a shooter, but these are massacres. The St. Valentine's Day massacre was a massacre, just walking and shooting the mobsters. The Sandy Hook Elementary or Columbine or any of the other school massacres you want to talk about, and see, I have to catch myself saying it, they're massacres. You walk in and you shoot unarmed students. So he's saying there should be someone with a gun. Now, he also says he understands that we can't afford a police officer in every school, and this is where I fully differ with him on a few points, but I respect this guy. But who do we put in? Who do you give the gun to? I don't believe in vigilantes. I don't believe in crazy Sheriff Joe and his posse. I don't believe in just arming people at random. I think teachers kind of have enough to do without, I also got to carry a gun. I don't know who you'd arm at the school, and I don't know that it works. Now, this is what he claims. He says there's never been a school massacre in a school where an armed person is present. But in Columbine, there was an armed guy, and he was across the parking lot. You know why? Because he's human. Because even if you have this armed person at a school, especially in a city where schools are big, where there's hundreds, if not thousands, of students. My high school had 2,500 people. It was six stories high. How can you protect all of that? How many armed people are you going to have in this school? You see what I'm saying? And then he talks about the disconnect that comes from watching video games. And he says in the military, they use video games to desensitize soldiers. It's part of the training so that they'll actually shoot people, because I don't have the exact statistic in front of me, but in Vietnam it was like a small percentage of people actually used their weapon in combat. Let me correct this. In World War II, it is estimated only 15 to 20% of soldiers ever fired their weapon in combat. To increase that rate, the military adopted a training program to desensitize human beings to violence successfully. Let's question successfully, but increasing the rate to 90% in Vietnam. So in World War II, 15 to 20% fired their weapon in combat. In Vietnam, 90%. And he says it's desensitizing. But again, I don't buy the video game argument. And here's why. Even if you are desensitized to violence from playing Call of Duty or Code of War or one of those games, if you don't have a gun, if you don't have a military-style weapon with a 20, 30, 40, 50, 80 round clip, then no matter how desensitized you are, you can't massacre school children. You see, that's why the problem, yeah, we do have a mental health problem in this country. We do have, maybe we have a problem with children being desensitized, and I don't necessarily buy that, because when I was a kid, we played with toy guns, and you played war, and you played whatever else, we had violent games. If I've said it before, I'll say it again. You put a bunch of kids in a field and throw a ball out there and stick around, violence is going to happen. Kids bang into each other, fight each other. It's little boys. It's part of growing up. Anyway, I don't blame video games, because there are guns. It's the guns. Say it again. It's the guns. Now, you can want to kill a lot of people. If you don't have a gun with a huge clip attached, you can't do it. Okay? So... all due respect to David Grossman, simply because the man uses reasonable arguments, logical arguments, and the man has experience in these areas. So he's not just some crazed talking head about they're out to take away our guns and all of our rights and freedom. But I don't agree with him. But it would be a start to have more people like him talk to people who are on the other side and maybe wait a minute. Did I say two sides talk to each other and compromise? I'm sorry. I thought we were dealing with grown-ups. Never mind. We're dealing with the United States government. So, what else is going on? And again, like I said, three sides to this one, because that's one. That's the reasonable side. Now, the crazy. In Louisville, Kentucky, a 5-year-old boy killed his 2-year-old sister with a cricket, a rifle made for little kids. Let me say that again, a cricket. It's a 22 caliber weapon marketed as my first rifle. It's made in kid size. The 5-year-old shot his 2-year-old sister with it. Now, are we surprised? Who gives a 5-year-old a rifle? Okay, even if you like hunting, even if you like shooting, and you want to train your kids to shoot, that's fine. You leave a 5-year-old with a rifle, and get this, the lock on the rifle prevents you from loading it, but doesn't prevent you from firing it if it's already loaded. What? It's just one of those crazy accidents. That's what they're saying down there in Kentucky. It could happen to anybody. No, it couldn't, because not anybody gives a 5-year-old a rifle. A BB gun, even that's dumb, but maybe. But a rifle? And I can't imagine the pain these parents are going through in losing their 2-year-old, but you gave a 5-year-old a rifle. There's actually a rifle marketed to children called a cricket, and we're going to blame violence on video games. It is truly, truly beyond belief. I'm sorry for laughing, but it boggles the mind that someone will argue that this makes sense. To have a rifle for a 5-year-old kid, that makes sense, yeah. So let's move on. Now, that's the crazy side. But there's another side. And this is what we all, you know, they like to pull this one out. Inner city violence. You know, you gotta have the guns in the city. Okay, so here's this story. 17-year-old kid Alphonso Bryant was killed by a gun in the Bronx. This was a good kid, by all accounts. This kid was going to school. His mother worked hard. His father had been shot and killed in the 90s, which is a horrible irony for his, you know, for his mom to have to go through this twice. But the kid's friend said he did good in school. He had like a deal with his mom. As long as his grades were good, she would buy him his Nikes and his, you know, flat brims and everything else that's cool when you're that age. Okay, so man was killed. Man, the boy, the child, youngster, teenager, whatever you want to call it, was killed by a stray bullet on April 22nd. Now, there's been a feud going on between Mayor Bloomberg of New York and the LA Times over this stop and frisk policy. Stop and frisk is just that. The police don't like the way you look. They stop you. They search you. And it's under the claim of looking for a gun. All right, let's not pretend that they're stopping and frisking anyone but black and Latin kids in Upper Manhattan, the Bronx, Brooklyn, or whatever else. All right, so let's not pretend that this isn't some ridiculous, stupid law. But this is stop and frisk. So the Times has been on Mayor Bloomberg about his stop and frisk policy, and Mayor Bloomberg says that this is the exact kind of tragedy that the police are trying to prevent with their stop and frisk policy. Okay, and Bloomberg says that the Times did not cover this murder, but had it been a 17-year-old white kid, it would have been on the front page of the newspaper. That's probably true, but here's my problem with Bloomberg's argument. If it was a 17-year-old white kid, he never would have been stopped and frisked, ever. This kid, Alphonso Bryant had been stopped and frisked before, but he wasn't just frisked for a gun. The cops were cursing at him. The cops were searching his pockets, made him take his shoes off, went through it. And the reason we know about this is because his friend said, call your mom, because his mom took care of him. And he had the phone on speaker, and the mom and others could hear the cops cursing at the kid while he was frisking him. Trust me, this isn't, you know, excuse me, son, would you mind standing against the wall, raising your arm so we could check if you have a gun? I've been through this. I've literally lived through this. I was in my 20s back in the 80s when LAPD was the most racist gang of police you can imagine. And yeah, you would get stopped for driving while black, laid out on the sidewalk, searched, and it wasn't a polite, pardon me, sir, do you have a weapon on you? No. This stop and frisk policy. So Bloomberg, I call bullshit on what you're saying, because just imagine, okay, yeah, the Times was wrong for not covering this story, but there's no way that a 17-year-old white kid in the Upper East Side would ever be stopped by the cops for no reason at all and searched from head to toe. And if he was, they would scream bloody murder. And all of these people who talk about your rights and the government's out to get you and take away your rights and this and that, then how could you justify stop and frisk? Is there any more abuse of your right to be a citizen than these policies, like in Arizona when a group of Mexicans get together and the police just can search the whole group and ask them all for their papers? This is the United States of America, all right? So don't pretend like, well, you know, certain rights are okay for certain people, but other people, you don't look right. You don't have the appearance of someone who deserves all of their rights. So we'll just figure out which ones you get. So we can stop and search you with no cause for no reason, because you look like horrible. Sad. Three sides to a story. The reasonable side, the insanity of rifles made for kids, and tragedy of an innocent kid getting shot, but no solution, just the mayor versus a newspaper, and neither one of them could give a shit about that kid. Ugh. Hey, Bloomberg, go back to trying to outlaw large sodas, all right? Okay. While I'm on the subject of us coming together as a nation and loving each other for who we really are, let's talk about Queen Creek High School in Arizona. Queens Creek is a suburb of Phoenix. I happen to know. I've been through it. Members of the student council at an Arizona high school organized Redneck Day and encouraged classmates to dress and spoof accordingly, hoping to build school spirit leading up to prom week. So, of course, now this is what they claim. And see, this is what I hate when you do this. If you're doing your hatred thing, if you're doing your white power supremacist thing or whatever, at least call it what it is. Don't feign ignorance. Don't pretend. Okay? And so, of course, students showed up wearing the rebel flag like they really wouldn't on Redneck Day. Listen, redneck is a negative connotation on both sides. There are plenty of white people who would be highly insulted if you called them a redneck, because the redneck, the connotation is that you're ignorant and you're backwoods and you're racist and you're, you know, that's what it is. Now, we're not talking about Jeff Foxworthy doing "you might be a redneck" jokes. Okay, when you have Redneck Day at a high school, you are sending a message to all the minority kids in the high school. They claim it was just a little spoof of the show Duck Dynasty. So why wasn't it Duck Day? Huh? How about Duck Day, if that's what it was? Yeah, you know, bring in duck calls and blow those. Hey, we know what this was. And now, of course, the NAACP is involved, and the pastor of a local church and everything else, because you can't sanction hatred. It's such a just so stupid. Redneck Day, what the hell? You know something? What? I'm sorry, I run out of comments for these things because it's beyond belief. Hey, how do you make an intelligent commentary about, you know something? We're going to have Redneck Day. What could go wrong? Oh, Jesus. Arizona, what the hell is wrong with you? I love your state. Your desert is beautiful. Your home of the Grand Canyon. Your spring training in baseball. Just so many good things. What the hell is wrong with you? Redneck Day. Unbelievable. Mountain Dew. Here's another one. And again, you have to wonder. No, you don't have to wonder. It's all about money and hatred and whatever. So, Mountain Dew has three ads with a goat. Yes, I said a goat. Voiced by a rapper. There's a rapper, Tyler the Creator. Okay, and this was his idea. But Tyler the Creator is a rapper who likes to stir up trouble. He likes to say, you know, misogynistic rap. Violent rap, this and that. He likes to stir it up because it gets him attention. Well, this sure worked, but Mountain Dew and your father corporation, Pepsi, what the hell is wrong? This is what the ads were. This gangster goat, okay, the final ad of the three, is the gangster goat is in a lineup at the police station with five black, quote, thugs, you know, to look do-rags and gold teeth, and they dress them up to look like that. And there's a white woman who's bruised and battered on crutches in bandages. I'm not making this up, okay? This is an actual ad that Mountain Dew ran. And the goat is saying things to her like, keep your mouth shut. I'm gonna get out of here. I'm gonna do you. The goat is threatening the woman from the lineup. Yes, I said that. A goat. I did say a goat. Now, this isn't cute hamsters dancing hip-hop on a Kia commercial. this is a gangster goat. And it's so unbelievable. Mountain Dew pulled this ad. They pulled the final ad where the woman's the beat up, but they still have the other gangster goat ads running. And of course, they're like, we're sorry. We had no idea. We didn't mean this as an insult toward black people. It just, you know, yeah, okay. Just to sell soda. What the? I don't even know, you know? Pepsi, what the hell were you thinking? What, like you, and again, the feigned ignorance, that's the most insulting thing about it. It's the feigned ignorance. It's the, we didn't know. We didn't know this would offend people. We didn't know they would take it a certain way just because we had all black people in the goat on the thug side and all white people on the police and victim side. This ad's been described as the most racist commercial in history. And that you... You got some work there, because remember, you had Ashton Kutcher in brown face, or red face, I guess, doing some kind of Indian thing. There have been some racist ads. So, I mean, come on, we're talking about ads against black people during the civil rights era. More racist than that. Wow. Oh, man. God bless us. We need something lighter. We need something funny. Let's go to the White House Correspondent Dinner, okay? The White House Correspondent Dinner is one night a year when Washington gets together. The politicians, the reporters, the talking heads on TV, the celebrities, they all come together and they have this big dinner, and they always have a big headlining comic. This year it was Conan O'Brien. But the interesting thing is, since they've been doing this, Barack Obama has been killing it. Yeah, it's one more reason the people who hate Obama hate Obama, because the man has a sense of humor. Now, yeah, he has writers. He has people come in from Saturday Night Live or from Comedy Central to help him on this. But Barack just, he killed. He killed. these are just some of the jokes that he told. He said, these days I look in the mirror and I have to admit, I'm not the strapping young Muslim socialist I used to be. Talking about his recent White House Easter egg thing. I go out on the basketball court, took 22 shots. I made two of them. That's right, two hits, 20 misses. The executives at NBC were asking, what's your secret? So, he's good at making fun of himself. Here's another one. Did you know Sheldon Adelson spent $100 million of his own money last year on negative ads? I mean, you really got to, this is Obama talking, you really got to dislike me to spend that kind of money. Sheldon would have been better off just offering me $100 million to drop out of the race. I probably wouldn't have taken about it, but I would have thought about it. Michelle would have taken it. So on and on. He gets a lot of laughs. Now, Tom Brokaw was pissed about the dinner this year because Lindsay Lohan went, and he said that cheapens it. But it's funny, and it's an honor to perform. Conan O'Brien did the show. Obama made a joke about, O'Brien being invited to do the show, but actually he was going to be fired in 5 years from now. Jimmy Fallon would do the show. Here's a good joke from Conan O'Brien. He said, tonight's entrees were halibut and filet mignon, or as CNN's John King reported it, lasagna and couscous. So, it's fun. And I would love to do it. I don't know if I'll ever make it to that level in comedy, but I would love to do it. The best I've ever seen do it, of course, was Lewis Black, who just skewered Bush and Cheney and that. But again, it's fun, right? It's comedy, right? People are laughing. Well, there's one person not laughing. Ladies and gentlemen, you know her, you love her. You can't do comedy without her. Sarah Palin. Oh, Sarah's mad. Sarah's upset. She doesn't like the White House Correspondents' Dinner. This is what she tweeted. While America is buried in taxes and fights for our rights, the permanent political class in D.C. dresses up like and has a prom to make fun of themselves. No need for that. We get the real joke. I love Sarah. I love Sarah for stuff like this, okay? But Sarah, this is another one of her tweets. The hashtag WHCD, which is White House Correspondent Dinner, was pathetic. The rest of America is out there working our asses off while these D.C. ass clowns throw themselves a hashtag nerd prom. Okay, what exactly are you working your ass off to do, Sarah? You had a job. You were the governor of Alaska, and you quit. You quit the job. Why? To become a celebrity, to be paid $1 million by Fox for your inane opinions. Is that the hard work that Americans are doing? Wait a minute. In 2011, your daughter, who is now a celebrity only because of your celebrity, was at the White House Correspondent Dinner. The economy was in worse shape in 2011. Everything was worse, but that one was okay because Bristol was invited. Now it's a horrible thing. And Chris Broussard, you should take a lesson from Sarah Palin, Broussard. See how Sarah cashes in on her ignorance and hatred and hypocrisy? Do that. Leave ESPN. Go to Fox and get fired even by Fox for being inane. Yeah, Broussard, be this judgmental asshole. Hey, with Sarah, it's comical now because we all know Sarah's just a joke. But yeah, Sarah, you're working really hard. Sarah Palin probably gets paid six figures a speech, and I don't knock her for that. But Sarah Palin is nothing but a talking head celebrity with uninformed opinions. So for her to make fun of this White House Correspondent Dinner is a joke. She would love to have been there. Yeah, it was a nerd prom that you weren't invited to. But I still love you, Sarah, and I'll be happy to make fun of you every time you open your mouth. I definitely made some money off you on the last special. God bless you, Sarah. Sorry they're having fun in D.C. and didn't invite you. Maybe if you had remained governor, you know, actually done your job as governor, you'd have been... Oh, sorry. You had to watch your daughter dance with the stars because you're one of those hardworking Americans. I'm a performer, not on that level. I wish I was, but hardworking Americans are digging ditches, teaching classes, designing things as engineers, doctors. I just went through a surgery. Everyone in the medical profession, that's work. Amazing work. Hard work from the grunt work of the janitors and the nurses and this and that to the brilliant work of surgeons. And I'm not, you know, making one more valuable than the other. I'm just saying these are people that work hard. Listen, when you talk about hardworking Americans, if you've been involved in politics at all in your life, then no, you're not. Okay? So, good for you, Sarah. We're glad you're mad. And just to let you know that, you know, yeah, we all know Sarah's crazy, but just to let you know she's not the only one. Okay, a poll by Fairleigh Dickinson University's Public Mind finds that 29% of Americans believe, get this, an armed revolt will be necessary in the next few years. And 25% believe we're not being told the truth about Sandy Hook. You just have to love, out of the poll sample, 18% of Democrats, 27% of Independents, and 44% of Republicans, imagine that, say in the next few years, an armed revolution might be necessary to protect our liberties. You know, liberties, like not being stopped and frisked. That would be a liberty. Now, here's the thing about this armed revolt plan, and I'm laughing because it's so inane and stupid that it's beyond comprehension, but say you have your little armed revolt. Who's going to be in charge? Let me think. Think back. When has there been an armed takeover of a country with no plan to replace the disposed leader? Oh, let's call an Iraqi and ask about that. Hey, wait, wasn't that a Republican plan? unbelievable. But this is why I laugh at Sarah Palin, but I admire Sarah Palin, because people don't realize Sarah's got supporters. These are the people. They're like, who the hell would support Sarah Palin? The people who think we're going to need to pull an armed revolt in the next couple of years. This is what I love. Yes, they did say 18% Democrats. Make no mistake, there's crazy Democrats, but there's always more crazy Republicans. But here's the thing. The Republicans have been working, like, to change our government, we vote. That's how democracy works. We vote. But they've been losing elections, even when they do everything they can to disenfranchise the voters that they don't like. Let's get rid of the young people and the black people and the Latino people. Let's make it damn near impossible for them to vote. Oh, that backfired because the older black people and the parents of these kids remembered what it was like to have their voting rights suppressed, and they were willing to stand and wait in line for hours. You know what they voted for? Change. So now you're talking about, now the other side is talking about an armed revolt. If you're old enough to remember the 60s, and I'm not, but I've read about, like, an armed revolt was the Black Panthers. You know who believes in an armed revolt to overturn governments? Terrorists. That's right, I said terrorists. There's four R's in that word. Terrorists. An armed revolt. Which leads me to another interesting, very interesting article I wrote. I ain't write nothing that I read. This one, okay, it's written by a writer named Lee Steigel. I found it online in the Daily Beast. Memo to the South. Go ahead, secede already. Now this is his premise, and I'm okay with this. He says, on nearly every important issue, from gun control to immigration to gay marriage, we're divided. You got the red states and you got the blue states. So why not secede? Just let's do it. Let's just take, and this is what he says, a solid block of southern states. But it's not just southern states, because I'm gonna also throw in Arizona, and I'm gonna let them have Utah and Montana, because who knows what they're doing up in Montana, and who really cares? But this way, you could have the America that the coasts, you know, and the North, which would have things like gun control, which would have things like allowing immigrants in, which would gay marriage would be one, a woman's right to choose. You know, that would be enough. So they could have all of that. And then the South or the red states or whatever you want to call the other side, they could all be armed. Everyone just has a gun, like no law enforcement, no rules, no regulation, because we know government regulations is evil. No rules, just everyone has a gun. And women, you know your place, all right? You get back in that kitchen and you get to cooking and making babies like you're supposed to, and there be no abortion, and minorities, if somehow you slip in, or if you're crazy enough to stay, well, you will be treated as the second class citizen you are, because again, it's in the Bible. Somebody remind Chris Broussard, the Bible was used to endorse slavery and segregation because black skin was a mark of the devil. If you've seen Chris Broussard, he actually looks mixed. I don't know if he is, but he looks like he's product of interracial parents, which would truly, truly make his hatred of gays astounding, because if his parents, say his parents are black and white and married, that's only been legal for the last 50 years, but it won't be legal in this new red country. I'm not even going to call it southern. I'm going to call it red, and you just could have it all. You have all the NASCAR races you want, and you know what? You know what's great? You could have a theocracy, right? Your laws could all come straight from Jesus. Just biblical law. And you're going to love this. You'll have never had a black president because you'll be your own country. So the Obama won't even apply. So you would be able to say that we're a pure country that's never had a black president. This everybody's happy with this. They've been wanting to secede. I'm with this writer on this one. Go ahead. Let's just cut it in half. Now, granted, you know, the economics might be difficult considering it's the North and the coast that make all the money in this country, but the farming states, Bible Belt, makes food. So we had to buy food, and we, because trust me, I'm gonna be on the north side of this, sir. We'll buy food from you guys, but we won't just give you anything. And boy, wouldn't it make the world championship in baseball or basketball or the Super Bowl a bit more interesting if it were two countries fighting for it? This might work. And not with war. Not another civil war. Because let's face it, they've been waiting for round two. They've been holding on to their rebel flags. The Republic of Texas. You know, Perry wants to be his own president of his own little baby country again. Well, give him one. It would be great. They each side could do what they want. Since nobody in American politics wants to work together, they wouldn't have to. But let's split it. Damn it. Where do we get the guns for the armed revolt to split the country? Maybe they're on to something. For the record, I am joking there. That was all sarcasm. But it might be the only answer. America, what can we come together on? What is the one thing? There has to be something we can agree on. We don't agree on guns, and we don't agree on education, and we don't agree on laws, and apparently some of us don't have the right to be Christian, and it just blah, 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 blah. What can we all agree on? Well, America, we still hate Gwyneth Paltrow. That's right. Yeah, let's come together on that. We still hate Gwyneth Paltrow. Why? Well, Star Magazine was this year's most hated celebrity. Okay, and this could be why. Little statements like, quote, "I'm really fucking good at my job. People who are interesting and good know that, and that's all that matters." Or maybe when she proudly asserted, "I am who I am. I can't pretend to be somebody who makes $25,000 a year." Or another great quote, "I would rather die than let my kid eat cup of soup." Here's another one. It's what makes life. Finding the balance between cigarettes and tofu. Gwyneth, these are only some reasons that they hate you. But good for her. She was voted most beautiful woman in the world, which, let me tell you something. I said this on Adam Carolla's podcast, and shout out to Adam. The podcast is awesome. But Eva Mendes has more sexiness in one curve than Gwyneth Paltrow in her entire body. Nobody thinks a straight, skinny woman is sexy. It just, women have curves, okay? That's how they're built. So I'm not even knocking her looks. I don't get into knocking people's looks. Everyone has their own choice. But man, If you would rather just have your kid, you'd rather die than eat a cup of soup, then damn it, they hate you. So that's it. That's all I got this week. America, we should separate as a nation and each choose our own rules. But if we have to stay together, let's stick together and hate Gwyneth Paltrow and maybe laugh a little at Sarah Palin. This is Alonzo Bowden asking you who's paying attention. This weekend, I will be at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. Next week, on May 8th, I will be at the Ice House in Pasadena. And on May 11th, I will be down at the Carlsbad Theater in Carlsbad, California. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Oh, little problem going on with my website, alonzolive.com. It's like a domain name issue. It's switching over to alonzobowden.com. In the meantime, if you go to Alonzo Live and it doesn't work, I promise you it will. It will soon just direct you to alonzobowden.com as soon as the guys who do that sort of thing do what they do, because I damn sure don't know how. I depend on them. Fellas, the hell are you doing? You're killing me. Fans, listeners, I love you guys. Thanks for your support.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it. on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.